From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of October 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. K-State's Dan O'Brien will join us to look at the agricultural energy markets. And along the way, we'll hear from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. They'll update crop progress in their regions. And we'll take time more than once to thank our agricultural listening audience for stepping up to the plate in a great big way. We met all of our challenges during this fall fund drive. In fact, you called so quickly yesterday afternoon during the closing market report that the folks taking the calls couldn't keep up. Dave and I didn't know we'd met the challenge before we got off of the air. Thank you so very much. Now, in just 26 minutes, don't forget to stay with us because at the end of this half hour, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He'll give us all the details of the blustery weather we're in the midst of and how long the winds will stay with us right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio funded in part by you. Thank you.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished like this. The nearby December wheat, 18 cents higher at $6.92. March at 7.31, up 18 and 3 quarters. May at 7.50, up 19. And July at 7.59 and 3 quarters, 18 and a half higher. For the soft red, hard red in Kansas City for the wheat at 7.38 and a half, up 16 and 3 quarters. From the corn pit, nearby December futures, 5.71, 2 and a quarter cents the gain. March contract at 5.84, up 2 and a half. The May at $5.90, up 2 3/4. July corn, 5.94, up 3 1/4. And next year's December at 5.38 1/4, 5.5 cents higher. November beans up 1 1/4, $12.19. January at 12.31, up 1 cent, and the March at 12.37 3/4, up a half. May futures were down 0.5 cent at 12.38 3/4, July down 0.75 at 12.43 1/2, and next year's November at $11.70 1/2, up 5.5 cents. December meal up 90, December bean oil up 60 cents. Outside markets, actually mercantile exchange markets for the livestock, October feeder cattle $100.85, down 55. October live cattle at our feeders, rather, at 111.30, up 20, and the lean hogs at 68.67 1/2, up 22 1/2 cents on this Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Now here's the outside markets for the day. They finished up in the crude oil futures at 82.58. That's still trading up a nickel for the day. Ethanol at 2.27 1/10, a penny and 3 cents higher. Natural gas at 3.34 1/10, up 2 4/10. Heating oil or diesel fuel down just 0.4 cents at $2.25 even. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,338, down 30 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,163, just about 83 points lower. The dollar at 77.7 is down 0.6. The Dow actually just about unchanged at 11,163, not down 0.83. A CRB index at 301.29 is up 0.98 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service, they say the skies today should be sunny. They are outside of our studios here. The high about 67 degrees. It'll be windy, west to southwest winds at around 31 miles an hour. That's sustained. They'll gust all the way to 55 today. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 43, breezy southwest winds between 16 and 20. They'll gust as high as 36. And then tomorrow, sunny skies, a high near 65 degrees. Breezy west-southwest winds again between 17 and 25, gusting to 38. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 38 degrees. West winds around 16 miles an hour, gusting up to 23. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 52. That's right, 52 degrees. West-northwest winds, they'll come back around this time around at 14 to 17 miles an hour, gusting to 24. And then Thursday night, mostly clear, and we'll get down to a low of 30 degrees. By the time we get to Friday, the winds will lay down. It will be sunny and a high near 54. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, joins us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for being with us. I take it you're still there and haven't blown away in your part of the world yet.
You know, it was quite windy this morning, but boy, it was just went through here in a big hurry. We've only got about a quarter of an inch of rain. It sure looked like a lot more on the radar, but boy, it come through with gusts of winds, I think, very close to 60 mile an hour. And Indianapolis in that area got hit a little worse, so they had a lot of people out of electricity over that way.
Yeah, I was out of electricity for a while this morning, and I left before it came back on. I don't know whether it actually came back on in my home or not. I hope so. I'm on a well, so we managed to get everybody showered. But beyond that, it's probably done for the day, I suppose. All right, so let's turn our attention to what happened in the marketplace. Corn up 2 cents, wheat up 18. What happened in that particular pit? I have an idea, but I don't know exactly where this 18-cent rally came from.
Well, as my friend Matt in the wheat pit, the key word was relationship adjustment, which meaning that as we've seen the inflationary factors and the buying of commodities, it's been greatly exaggerated in comparison to the wheat pit in both the corn and the beans, and the wheat pit had been the lagger as far as them adding long positions, and it got out of sync as to where it should be trading comparatively, and they saw it as the commodity to buy today because they didn't own a lot of it, number one. And number two, the crop ratings last night, very poor in comparison to last year. And the reports out of Australia, Western Australia's crop is worse than what it had been. And, of course, the weather forecast just isn't giving us enough rain to sprout all the wheat acres we were planting this year.
So that managed to move the wheat upwards, and I suppose it pulled the corn and the soybeans along with it just by default?
You know, that's what we feel. A lot of it happened. We were under pressure last night and early this morning because of the non-enthusiastic trade in the crude oil and the somewhat enthusiastic trade of up 50 to 60 points in the dollar index. So if it hadn't been for the wheat, I think we probably would have stayed lower in the day in the corn and the beans, Todd.
You need to feed the bull, apparently. Do you see anything that's in the offing for the future for the bull?
Well, you know, we keep talking a lot about the Fed's meeting coming up here on the 2nd. If we continue with our policy as to expand the money supply and do that, that would keep the inflationary factors going and want the idea of wanting to buy commodities. The bad thing that we have going for us is it's towards the end of the month, and we a lot of times see people willing to take profits on their positions, and a lot of them have some big profits, just like they took them right before the last report. But all in all, I think it's fairly enthusiastic because we are winding harvest down. I mean, we noticed the numbers they gave us on completion factors yesterday, and, you know, the busiest harvest weekends are all done. The corn piles aren't as big as they were in Illinois and Iowa as they were a year ago, and once farmers put the combines away, they generally shut the bin doors for a while, and we'd like to think that that could be one of the things at the basis level holds us steady and keeps us in here.
Yeah, so the basis, you're expecting the basis level to hold up the futures market as opposed to the other way around at this point.
I think so. I mean, we're going to have to narrow the basis in as farther west we go as the crop finishes coming in out of the field and goes in the bins. So we have seen some basis tightening already as we go west, and we assume we'll see a little more over the next couple of weeks.
I suppose your producers are pretty much done and waiting anxiously, hopefully, to put the anhydrous ammonia on, not moving too quickly if they already are, and not interested in moving much grain that they put in the bin. Is that right?
That would be very true, Todd. And, you know, as we talked to some of our producers, some of them aren't real anxious to move some of their grain right quick because they're a little bit disappointed in the totals they have in their bins now that they close the doors. So they're a higher percentage sold than what they thought they were, and they'd like to hold out and see if we can actually hit the $6 and the $12.50 mark on the beans.
Read anything interesting from USDA's Data User Group meeting yesterday?
Yeah, they were very adamant that they weren't wrong, but I'm not sure that they caught the drift of maybe we didn't feel that they put out wrong figures, but maybe their technique of gathering them needs to be improved. I think that that is basically what it says. The one thing that does worry me with the corn market as we look at it was 91% of their test plots had been harvested for the last report, and that means only 9% were left to be harvested and not have actual data from those plots. And those would probably be the western plots that could be a little better yielding, and we might not see the yield reduction that some of us are looking for in this report as far as the corn goes.
Well, for the upcoming report, that'll be interesting to watch as it comes out, and we'll try to stay tuned with you to make sure we know what happened, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon when we take a look at the agricultural futures markets. You can always hear him again on our voicemail if you'd like. The number to call there is 217-333-3434. We update it at 10:15 and 3:15 daily with either the opening or the closing market numbers and a bit of analysis.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Todd Gleason and I want to thank the 233 people who pledged in support of Illinois Public Media Agriculture and WillAg.org during the just concluded fall pledge drive. Your generous contributions helped us to meet a $2,000 challenge from Risk Management Commodities, Bates Commodities, AgriGold Hybrids, The Andersons, Global Commodity Analytics, and Farm Credit Services. Again, our sincere thanks.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released its latest crop progress report. It showed by the week's end, nationally producers had harvested 83% of this year's corn crop, 63 percentage points ahead of last year and 34 points ahead of the rolling five-year average, or 16 days. Harvest was most rapid in Minnesota and the Dakotas, where producers utilized 6 days suitable for field work to combine 30% or more of their crop in just 1 week. In Iowa, the largest corn-producing state, harvest advanced to 86% complete by the 24th day of October. That's the quickest pace since 2000. By the week's end, the soybean harvest had advanced to 91% complete nationwide. That's 49 points ahead of last year, 9 points ahead of the rolling 5-year average. Harvest activities near completion throughout the Midwest, as mild, mostly dry weather continued to dominate the region. 12 of the 18 major estimating states were 44 points or more ahead of last year and 16 points ahead or more of normal. On the winter wheat, producers seeded 8% of the 2011 winter wheat crop during the week, leaving progress at 88% complete, 11 points ahead of last year, 4 points ahead of the 5-year average. Some producers in the southeast were waiting for needed rainfall before continuing with their crop sowing. Double-digit crop emergence was evident across much of the major producing area during the week, and by the 24th, emergence had advanced to 64% complete for the wheat, 5 points ahead of last year, but just on par with the 5-year average. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 24, 2010. After nearly a month of warm, dry weather, Iowa farmers are on the downhill side of the corn and soybean harvest. The favorable weather conditions enabled growers to continue harvest without any delays, which put Iowa's harvest about a month ahead of last year's slow pace and over 3 weeks ahead of the 5-year average pace. This has given producers plenty of time for fall field work, although the continued pattern of daytime temperatures above 70 degrees has limited anhydrous ammonia applications. The dry weather came to an end over the weekend, however, as rain fell over most of the state, with amounts ranging from trace accumulations in central Iowa up to 3 inches in northwest Iowa. 68% of the corn acres have been harvested, 35 days ahead of last year, 25 days ahead of the five-year average, and the furthest corn harvest has been by October 24th since 2000, when 92% had been harvested. Soybean harvest advanced to 97% complete, 24 days ahead of last year and 19 days ahead of the normal pace. With harvest winding down, on-farm and off-farm storage availability rated 80 and 82% adequate to surplus respectively, compared with normal ratings for this time of year at about 60 to 65% adequate to surplus. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 24th. Rain finally came to Illinois last week. For the first time since late September, above normal precipitation was recorded in Illinois. Generally, northern and western areas of the state had rainfall totals that exceeded the norm for this week, but central and southern areas had little or no rainfall. Corn harvest advanced a few points and is now at 97% complete, well ahead of the five-year average of 63% for this time of year. Last year, corn harvest was only 14% complete on this date. Soybean harvest also reached 97% complete, compared to 30% 1 year ago and 75% for the five-year average. In other crops, 84% of sorghum acres have been harvested compared to 61% normally. Wheat planting reached 95% complete compared to 74% normally, and wheat emerged is now at 55% compared to 43% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the crop weather report for the week ending October 24, 2010. Weather conditions have allowed producers to make excellent harvest progress for the fourth week in a row. Soybean harvest neared completion at 96%, approximately 2 weeks ahead of average. Corn jumped to 74% complete, about 3 weeks ahead of average. Crops are drying down in the field, saving producers on drying costs. Harvested fields were beginning to get worked up, as well as some fertilizer applications were being made. Rangeland is starting to show some stress due to the dry conditions. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with highlights from the Weekly Crop Weather Report for week ending October 24, 2010. The soybean and sugar beet harvests were virtually complete, while the sunflower harvest neared completion, all ahead of average pace. As of October 24th, soybeans were 99% harvested compared to 43% last year and 83% for the five-year average. Sugar beets were 99% harvested compared to 69% last year and 87% average. Sunflowers were 91% harvested compared to just 20% last year and 43% average. Corn harvested jumped 30 percentage points from the previous week to 77% harvested. This compares to 6% last year and 41% average. Moisture content of harvested corn was 14%. This compared to last year's average moisture content of 29% and the five-year average moisture content of 21% for the same week. Producers have reported that little or no drying was required with this year's crop. Other producer activities include fall tillage and fertilizer application. This is Dan Loftus for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report. Thank you for being along with us this afternoon. And thanks to all of those folks who called in with their pledge of financial support for the agricultural programming for Illinois Public Media over the last several days. Dave Dickey and I really do appreciate it. You stepped up and we recognized it.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural energy markets. Dan O'Brien of K-State is with us this afternoon from his offices. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hello, Todd. How's it going?
It's going very, very well. You sent to me this morning a series of charts, and it's much more like talking about the commodity markets in this terms. And I'd like you to start by going through these. We start with some trends in the U.S. and ethanol use. Ending stocks and prices, what do these two charts show to us?
Well, there are lots of things happening in the ethanol market. I think that's an understatement, Todd. You've got corn markets moving higher. Of course, that could damage profitability of ethanol just because of higher input costs. And here the corn markets closed at 571 on Tuesday the 26th, i.e. today. Gasoline prices are also moving along fairly healthy. They closed at the average price of about, there's an average price of about $2.82 per gallon as of October the 25th, that'd be Monday's price. Now, that's coming off of a one-year high in prices about a week or so ago. So we're seeing fairly good gasoline prices. Ethanol demand, blender demand for ethanol is still pretty good and should improve as gas prices have moved a bit higher, and by the time you add in the blender's credit, still, it makes ethanol a fairly good buy. Ethanol futures really strong at $2.27 per unit on a today on the 26th, Tuesday the 26th. And when you look at some of the factors that are affecting the profitability of this whole energy complex, you have to look at the U.S. dollar. Generally, the U.S. dollar had been trending lower until about 3 or 4 days ago, and has since been moving sideways. But overall, the lower value of the U.S. dollar has helped support petroleum prices, gasoline prices, and also provide some support for the long-term profitability, I guess, of ethanol production. So you bring a whole bunch of things together, and it's a good thing, I guess, from a sober realist point of view. It's a good thing for the ethanol industry that we're seeing pretty strong ethanol prices. With the challenges we'd have in trying to make a profit if we didn't have higher ethanol prices to offset the higher corn prices.
So go back and take a look at this ethanol, denatured fuel ethanol chart that you gave me, the November contract. You point out that there, like in the corn market, there is a large gap now in that chart.
A lot of things happened on October the 8th, the date of that last USDA WASDE report, when the corn market gapped higher on that day. Again, that was a major day. We saw a move of about 15 cents a gallon for ethanol on ethanol futures on that same day. Since that time, we'd moved up. We had jumped up to about 215 to 220 and have been moving even a bit higher since then, not gapping higher, but had been trending gently higher. So overall, I think you go back essentially to higher petroleum prices, and that with underlying support from the dropping value of the dollar, and of course those things are positive. As long as the U.S. economy continues to go forward and gasoline demand doesn't fall off, in light of some of these other again overall energy price issues that we're looking at, then it looks like we have a pretty good opportunity to at least make decent profits in the ethanol industry for a bit.
Dan, thank you so much for spending the time with us today.
Todd, thank you.
Dan O'Brien is with K-State, joins us here on a Tuesday afternoon. Somebody talks with us each and every week on Tuesdays about the agricultural energy markets. I'll return in just a couple minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Rob O'Malley in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's National Mincemeat Pie Day. The origin of the mincemeat pie goes back to the Middle Ages, where chopped liver, boiled egg yolks, dried fruit, and spices were wrapped in a fried or baked pastry. By the 16th century, the mincemeat pie was considered a Christmas specialty. On this day in agricultural history in 1825, the 363-mile-long Erie Canal was finished, connecting the Great Lakes to the Hudson River and Albany. It provided a water route from the Great Lakes to New York City and the Atlantic Ocean, and began the Great Canal Building Era in the U.S. Canal boats facilitated exchange of manufactured goods from the city with agricultural products from the Midwest. In 1854, Charles William Post was born, an American industrialist. He founded Post Cereal Company and created Grape Nuts Cereal. Post was being treated at the sanitarium of John Harvey Kellogg, where he was fed a grain-intensive vegetarian diet. That provided the inspiration for the manufacture of Postum, a grain product intended as a coffee substitute. 1 year later, Post followed that up with Grape Nuts, and 7 years later, he added Elijah's Manna to the lineup. That cereal is known today as Post Toasties. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is with us today. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
It is a blustery day, to say the least, here in the Midwest. And overnight last night, a powerful storm rolled through. The winds have been sustained at really high levels. Can we expect them to lay down?
Well, not for another 24 hours. This is quite the storm system. It covers a lot of real estate and is going to intensify over the next 24 to 48 hours while barely moving across portions of the Arrowhead of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and over Lake Superior by tomorrow. So the whole Midwest is going to be looking at high winds. And now we're getting to be on the backside, the colder part of the storm system. So temperatures are going to be much colder. You factor in the wind with those colder temperatures, it's just downright raw out there. And they're going to have near blizzard or some blizzard conditions across some portions of North Dakota, far northwestern Minnesota, and south central Canada here over the next 24 hours.
I suppose blizzard conditions means they're getting snow. Will it be heavy snow?
Not a lot of snow. This is really more of a combination of snow, wind, and cold, all three of those things working together to cause some big concerns. There'll be a few pockets of some heavy snow, but in terms of amounts of snow, by an early fall storm standard, not a lot.
When can we here in the Midwest and this part of the world, Champaign County, the eastern part of Illinois, expect the temperatures to drop off? Because I see that we go to 43 or thereabouts tonight, and then tomorrow evening we hit 38, but we only run to, what, in the low 50s on Thursday or something along those lines.
Yeah, well, the colder air is just now starting to move on in, and when we're going to really notice it getting colder, that's certainly going to be tomorrow night, and as we get on into the time frame of Thursday. Thursday night is probably, I think, the night where we may go near or below freezing in many areas.
And that's not all that unusual at this time of year, is it?
No, not at all. In fact, it's a lot later than it came last year. Last year we had several systems that brought in cold a lot earlier.
Can you take a look further out and head me into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for our part of the world?
Well, we're going to start to see temperatures stabilize, then go back up again. The coldest temperatures are going to be through the next 48 hours. And as we get into Saturday and the weekend, typical autumn temperatures, 50s, mid to upper 50s for highs, lows at night, upper 30s and low 40s.
And we lose the winds maybe tomorrow evening sometime? Is that
right?
Yeah,
it's going to be an exercise in patience. We may even have a fair amount of wind even into Thursday. So it's going to be a good two and a half days before these winds are going to ease up.
How unusual is a storm of this magnitude with this kind of wind for this sustained amount of time?
Well, you know, they don't happen often. This is a very large storm system, and it's been really helping to fuel the fire, so to speak. There's a lot of really cold air in the northern latitudes. And we haven't had a situation yet this fall where we could get one cohesive storm together in the mid-latitudes. And this is certainly a sign of the changing seasons. And I dare to say this is probably not the first storm like this that we're going to see this season in the Midwest.
I'm looking at the storm on the radar, and it appears to just be a mammoth beast. It stretches from, well, north to south across the United States and a little bit into Canada.
You don't see very often in late October a tornado watch extend from Arkansas to Michigan, but we had that this morning. And then it goes up into the backside of the system where it's cold and snowing over the northern plain states and southern sections of Manitoba and Saskatchewan. So a lot of real estate being covered by this storm, as you said.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.